Let's look at John chapter 6, verse 32. Let us hear the word of God. Jesus therefore said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world." They said therefore to him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Let us pray together. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to come into your presence this evening and to remember Jesus Christ and observe the supper that he has given. And as we come to prepare for taking the supper this hour, we ask that you would remind us once again of the gospel of our Lord, and that it would be a great comfort to every heart here. We thank you that we can sing great hymns of the faith that are full of truth and light, that cause our hearts and our emotions and our minds to be joined together in worship and praise as we sing them. And we ask, O Lord, that you would help us to live like that, with our mind and our emotions and our hearts dedicated to you in all that we do. And we thank you for this passage of Scripture and the others that we will read tonight, where we read that Jesus Christ receiveth sinners. We pray in his blessed name. Amen. The passage of John 6 uses a word which you've often heard me use, probably every sermon I've preached almost since I've been here. And it is the word "come." It is a word that invites others to come toward one. Jesus said that he has come down out of heaven into this world. And we can see there the illustration of what the word "come" means. He was in another place, and he came to earth. He was in heaven, in glory, and he came down to earth to us. And then, in the midst of explaining how he is the meaning of life, he is life itself. He is the bread of the soul. As we take bread by mouth to strengthen our bodies, he says in verse 35, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." He has come down to us, and now he invites us to come to him. It has the idea of movement toward. He said in verse 37, "All that the Father gives me shall come to me." They shall come. "And the one who comes to me," he said, "I will certainly not cast out." He came into his own, and his own received him not. Anyone who comes to him will not be cast out. will not be rejected, will not be refused. In fact, in verse 35, as we'll read in a moment, coming and believing are the same thing. Believing is such an intellectual term that we have trouble understanding at times what it means to believe. We believe the facts about something, but that does not mean in our use of the word belief that we're committed to those things. But you cannot use that of the word come. The word come means what it sounds like. It means to move towards someone and to be welcomed by them. And according to John Bunyan, verse 35 teaches that coming to Christ and believing in Christ are the same thing. And so I try to teach the young people as much as I can what it means to believe. It means to come. To come to Christ as the risen Son of God, believing He is there, and that He will receive even you. And He said, if anyone comes to Me, I will certainly not cast them out. Now you may ask a question, can I come to Christ and not be received? Can I come to Christ and not be of God's elect? And the answer to that question is no, you cannot come to Him for salvation and be refused or be out of that called elect people. For it says in verse 44, Jesus said, no one can come to Me unless the Father who sent Me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to Me. There's that word again. If you see yourself as a poor sinner in need of a Savior and you go to Christ and come to Him, He will not cast you out simply because He receives all who come and because it is the Father. It is the Father who has first worked in you and drawn you to Christ. It is not for you to figure out if you are one of God's elect people before you come to the Savior. You are to come to Him as you are, with a promise in your hand that He has given, that He will certainly not cast you out. Now in Hebrews 11 is a second text which speaks of coming. And it says in Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 6 that without faith it is impossible to please God. And then it explains what that faith is. Without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is the rewarder of those who seek Him. That's what saving faith is. You must believe that God is. He is there. And if you go to Him or come to Him, there is someone there. And that someone has given words, promises, inviting to come. For he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is the rewarder of those who seek Him. You must believe that if you go to Christ, if you come to Him, that you have what you came for. Because He has promised to give it in your coming. So becoming a Christian is used so many times in the Scripture, not only of believing in Christ, but of coming to Him. And I personally think that's an easier way for us to understand what it means to become a Christian today. To go to Christ, and He will not tell thee nay. to come to Christ, who will not turn you away. To believe that He is, and as you come to Him, that He is the rewarder of those who seek Him. And that is saving faith. But that is not the only way the word come is used in the Scripture. It is not just used of coming to Christ in terms of salvation. It is also used of coming to the blessings of salvation. Not just the forgiveness of sins, but of all of the blessings and gifts that attend salvation. In Hebrews chapter 12, when Paul is trying to show those Hebrew Christians that it is futile to go back to the temple and the sacrifices of the old covenant, which he calls the first covenant in the book of Hebrews, in verse 22 of chapter 12, he says to Christians why you shouldn't go back to these other things. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood of Abel. When you come to Jesus Christ, you not only come to Him for that basic forgiveness of sins the first time, but you come and enter into Him and through Him many blessings. When we come to Jesus Christ, we also come and start living in the heavenly Jerusalem. That is why Paul called us now strangers in this world and citizens of a heavenly kingdom and a heavenly city. When we come to Christ, we leave the world and we come to a new place to live. We leave the old earthly Jerusalem and come to a heavenly Jerusalem where Christ lives. We come to myriads of angels, so many angels that it is impossible to count. A world, a spiritual world, where there are cherubim and seraphim. And the angels who go to and fro to serve God's people and to protect them and care for them. Ministers of God's people they are. And we come to that when we come to Christ. And we come to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. We enter into that multitude of God's people who before the foundation of the world were enrolled in His book of life and have stayed enrolled since. And we become a part of that church of the firstborn enrolled in heaven, so that whether we are on earth in this assembly or whether we know another who is Christ outside of this assembly, or whether we consider that multitude of God's people who have already passed on before us into the heavenly city, we are one with them. We are part of them, and they are part of us. God forbid the time when He takes one of us in this congregation that are sitting here now, or perhaps your spouse, and takes them home. The separation is grievous and painful and lonely. But there is a comfort the Christian has that no one else in the world has. And that is, we have come to the church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. And every time we worship the Lord together or bow our heads and seek His face alone, we join with those who have passed on before us who are worshiping Him all the time and are part of that great congregation of God's people in heaven and on earth that are joined by the same Spirit and the same blood and worship Him together. What a comfort it is for us to know that when our husband or wife has passed on before us into the presence of Jesus, when we talk to Jesus, they talk to Jesus, and we both meet at His feet, and one day shall meet face to face. Because when we come to Christ, we have come to the church of the firstborn enrolled in heaven, a new people, a new family, a new future together. And we come to God, the judge of all men. And we come to the spirits of righteous men made perfect. We come to them. We enter into fellowship with people like Bunyan and Spurgeon and Lloyd-Jones and call them brother. And know that one day we shall sit down and see them face to face. Them in their perfect state, we in our perfect state. And fellowship and talk with them about the work of God in our lives. And what a joy it is to live forever in the presence of our King. We have come to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, and we've come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks better than the blood of Abel. We have come to all these things when we come to Christ. As it were, we have left the world when we came to Him and entered a spiritual kingdom of God which has blessing upon blessing upon blessing. And those that come to God must believe that He is and the rewarder of those who seek Him. You are called to believe that all these things are yours in Christ. And you are called to let them be the comfort and the hope of your life and future. To come to Christ means more than the forgiveness of sins. It means to enter into His presence not only for the bare forgiveness of sins, getting in on the edge of heaven one day, but being given blessing upon blessing upon blessing far beyond what we deserve, and instead given blessings according to the abundance of His kind heart. We've come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the church of the firstborn enrolled in heaven, to God, to myriads of angels, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, and to Jesus, whose blood is superior than any blood that was ever shed, to cleanse our hearts of guilt and shame, and to make us live before God with joy and not embarrassment for our sins. Do you think of that? Have you come to Christ that way? Not only just to make a contract for forgiveness, but to enter into a new life? Well, I want to read to you in closing Hopeful's account of how Christ was revealed to his heart. And I've read this to you several times since I've been here, and I think it is one of the greatest accounts in print of what happens when one becomes a Christian and finally understands all that God has done for us and how it affects us daily. Christian asked Hopeful in Pilgrim's Progress, "And how was Christ revealed to you?" he said. Hopeful said, "I did not see him with my bodily eyes, but with the eyes of mine understanding." And thus it was. One day I was very sad, I think sadder than at any one time of my life. And this sadness was through a fresh sight of the greatness and vileness of my sins. And I was then, as I was then, looking for nothing but hell and the everlasting damnation of my soul, suddenly, as I thought, I saw the Lord Jesus looking down from heaven upon me and saying, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." But I replied, "Lord, I am a very great sinner." And he answered, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Then I said, "But Lord, what is believing?" And then I saw from that saying, "He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst," that believing and coming was all one. And that he that came, that is, ran out of his heart and affections after salvation by Christ, he indeed believed in Christ. Then the water stood in my eyes, and I asked further, "But Lord, may such a great sinner as I am be indeed accepted of thee and be saved by thee in coming to thee?" And I heard him say, "And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Then I said, "But how, Lord, must I consider of thee in my coming to thee, that my faith may be placed aright upon thee?" And then he said, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. He died for our sins and rose again for our justification. He loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He is mediator between God and us. He ever liveth to make intercession for us." From which all I gathered that I must look for righteousness in his person and for satisfaction for my sins by his blood, that what he did in obedience to his Father's law and in submitting to the penalty thereof was not for himself, but for him that will accept it for his salvation and be thankful. And now my heart was full of joy, mine eyes full of tears, and mine affections running over with love to the name, people, and ways of Jesus Christ. Christian said, "This was a revelation of Christ to your soul indeed. But tell me particularly what effect this had upon your spirit." Hopeful said, "It made me see that all the world, notwithstanding all the righteousness thereof, is in a state of condemnation. It made me see that God the Father, though he be just, can justly justify the coming sinner. It made me greatly ashamed of the vileness of my former life, and confounded me with the sense of mine own ignorance. For there never came thought into my heart before now that showed me so the beauty of Jesus Christ. It made me love a holy life and long to do something for the honor and glory of the name of the Lord Jesus. Yea, I thought that had I now 1,000 gallons of blood in my body, I could spill it all for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hopeful came to Christ, and in his coming understood what he was coming to. He was coming unto a Savior who loved him unto death. He was coming to a new future, a new people, and to new ways. He was entering into the kingdom of grace in which he now stood, to Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, to the church of the firstborn enrolled in heaven, to myriads of angels, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to God and to Jesus, whose blood speaks better than the blood of Abel. Blessing upon blessing upon blessing. And having understood all of these things that he had come to and had been given to him in his coming to Christ, his heart became full of joy, for he saw the world for what it really is, and he saw what Christ had done for him. His eyes became full of tears because he remembered what he was and what God had now given to him. And his affections changed from loving the world and himself to loving anything that was attached to the name of Jesus Christ, including his name, his people, and his ways. To come to Jesus Christ means coming to him, to a new world, a new future, a new hope, a new people. It involves leaving our world to come to him as much as he left his heavenly world to come to us. And the thing about that is, he didn't get such a good deal, but we did. When we come to the supper, we remind ourselves of what God has done to us and for us in coming to him. And it is because of those blessings that he has given us in spite of our sinfulness that our hearts once again are engaged. Our hearts once again are filled with joy. And we commit ourselves once again to live like a Christian. Let us pray. We come to the supper tonight, Father, and thank you for the opportunity to do that. And we thank you for Jesus Christ, who invites poor sinners to come to him and to enter into a world of blessing, a world of mercy, a world of kindness in his face. And we ask that you would help us to remember that and believe in that as we walk in this world for a while longer, till we see him face to face. And we ask that you would help us to believe that he is and that he's the rewarder of those who seek him, and to dedicate our lives to serving him. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.